red hot roll continues. Here's Bregman into left center field. Back at the wall and gone. Forget the tie. It's 6-5. Here's Springer into right center field at the wall. That is gone. 7-5 AL.
So the All-Star game, I didn't get the memo. The home run derby was a two-night affair?
It was.
Huh.
Apparently.
Wow. 10 home runs last night. You know, I know chicks dig the long ball and home runs are great and all, but I'll be honest with you. I don't like it that much. Like, I like home runs, but that's too many. I mean, 10 home runs and an all-star game. We were talking to Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire, the other day. Major League Baseball right now is on pace to do something that has never happened in the history of Major League Baseball. And that is to have more strikeouts than hits. Is that good for fans to watch a whole bunch of strikeouts, home run or strikeout, feast or famine? Like, the Royals were so fun to watch in 15 because they put the ball in play. They were fundamentally sound. They used speed. They stole bases. Teams nowadays don't steal very much. Whit Merrifield led the American League in stolen bases with 34 last year. Ricky Henderson threw 130. Ricky would throw 34 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's just a different game where it's like, well, we're not going to risk anything. We're going to go for the big inning. We're going for home run after home run. And you know, that can work for you, but a lot of guys aren't putting the ball in play. They're just hitting home runs, or they just walk back to the dugout. They don't even run the bases. And 10 home runs in an All-Star game, that's by far a record in All-Star game history. And I guess it's okay for an exhibition. But, I mean, I like to see hit and runs. I like to see, you know, squeeze plays. I like to see guys trying to steal second. They get thrown out, great defensive play. I just like to see more action on the field instead of just – it's almost the comparison I would make is to tennis when you're on a hard court surface and there's no rallies. It's just big serve, ace. Big serve, double fault. Big serve, ace. Ace. That's kind of boring to watch after a while. Hey, he has 82 aces. Well, that's great. How many rallies did we have? This is kind of boring. Sometimes home runs, when there's too many of them, can be a little bit, over the top and get a little bit old. Some people love it no matter what, but after a while, you just kind of become immune to it. Oh, hey, there's another home run.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another one. That's just my opinion.
No, I kind of agree with you. Like, it's an all-star game, so it doesn't, you know, if that's happening in a regular game where there's 10 home runs and I'm watching, like, some, let's say it's the Royals and they're good, you know, and you're watching this game and the whole, you know, all but one run in the game is scored on the long ball. That's not really entertaining for me.
Yeah, I agree.
If I'm watching a baseball game. So my thing is here, like, I didn't see, like, a lot of public outcry about that on Twitter or anything last night.
No, because it's an exhibition game, probably.
Yeah.
But there are going to be more people talking about how, I mean, the stat that there's 221 more strikeouts than hits.
Well, yeah, that's insane.
That's starting to spread.
Yeah.
People are like, wow, what is this becoming?
Yeah.
The beer softball league?
Yeah. But back to the All-Star part of it, like, if we're going to sit here and complain that nobody's playing defense and there's too many dunks in the All-Star game in the NBA, it's kind of the same thing here. Like, there's too many home runs. That's all they're doing. They're just hitting home runs. Yeah. They're not even playing baseball anymore.
Right.
So you could make that same argument, basically, with the Major League Baseball All-Star game after the last night. Like, that's boring. All they're doing is hitting home runs. But home runs are more attractive because somebody actually had to throw them the ball and they had to hit it out.
Right.
You know, it's not like somebody was just not doing it. They just lobbed the ball in there for them to hit it like a home run derby. It wasn't like that. So I think that's probably one of the bigger reasons you won't see a big outcry about it. But I agree with you. I think 10 home runs, exhibition or not, is probably too many home runs in a game that is being tracked for runs and records and things like that.
Well, it's also like college basketball is becoming, it seems, and that is, it's either a layup or a three-pointer.
Yeah.
There's no middle game anymore. And to me, that's not as fun. Like, obviously, for KU fans, it wasn't fun to watch Villanova make a whole bunch of threes. But Villanova shoots so many threes, they don't really have that mid-range game much. And it worked. They won a national championship. But they're that post back, your back up to the basket post play, then kicking out for three, you don't see that as much. Ball movement's okay. I like that. But there's so much emphasis on three-point shots nowadays that mid-range game is becoming an endangered species, and I think, you know, stealing bases and hitting runs are becoming endangered species in Major League Baseball. And I don't really like where this is trending, to be honest with you. But
no.
No.
But
it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, what do you do about it? I mean,
nothing.
It's not like it's, you know, you one team that changed it. It's
right.
It's everywhere. Like you said, just people aren't, they're not trying to steal anymore, and they're just, they want that long ball. And
waiting on the big inning.
Yeah.
There are other people that have talked about the DH now might become, there's more and more movement toward the DH in both leagues, so the pitcher wouldn't hit anymore in the National League, which I think would take even more strategy out of the game. And I personally don't love watching the pitcher hit, but it does provide a different type of strategy in the game.
Yeah.
And the substitutions and the double switches.
Yeah.
You make a DH across the board. So many years ago, I thought DH across the board made most sense. Now I'm sitting here going, I think it's okay the way it is. Let's not mess with it. Because at least when you watch a National League game, there's something different about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with just DH, that makes it a lot easier for a manager to handle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even in Pee Wee Baseball, it'd be easy for us to have DHs, and we don't. But, you know, that would make it easier. Yeah, you got a kid that can hit the ball, doesn't have to play defense. Okay, we get another kid to play. But we just don't have that rule in our league, so. All right, speaking of Pee Wee Baseball, the results from last night, I know what they are, but you do as well. I was up there last night.
Yeah, first round games in Belleville last night. The Beloit Marauders won over Hanover 3-1, and Concordia Lions over Concordia Chevy Buick 4-2 in the early games. Late games, Wakanda beat Clyde 12-0, and Smith Center Chiefs won 9-0 over Lynn. So that sets up quarterfinal games tonight. Games at 7 o'clock, Beloit Venom against Beloit Marauders at the Lions Field, Washington against Concordia Lions at the South Fairgrounds Field, and then at 8:30, the quarterfinals this evening, Beloit Cyclones taking on Wakanda on the South Fairgrounds Field, and the Clifton team taking on the Smith Center Chiefs on the Lions Field. Full bracket and results are posted at nckssports.com if you miss any of that and are looking at what's going on there in Pee Wee State baseball. So, again, quarterfinals coming up tonight with four more games.
We were talking about our league. It's a league tournament at the top of that bracket, Wakanda, Beloit, and then Beloit and Beloit in the others quarterfinal. In the bottom of the half of the bracket, the Chiefs are the only league team in the bottom half, and I think they've got a good chance to win tonight. So if they would win tonight, we're guaranteed to have three league teams from this area in the semifinals at state.
Yeah.
No matter who wins between Wakanda and the Cyclones and Venom and the Marauders, we know we're going to have two league teams in the semifinal playing each other. And then if the Chiefs win tonight, they'd be in the semifinals.
Yeah.
They looked really good last night. So we've got some good baseball in our area. Our league, right now, the league's been more difficult than state for some of these teams, believe it or not. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. So the All-Star game last night goes to the American League. Salvador Perez, he played five innings behind the plate, two at-bats, struck out both times. That really, really, really sums up the Royals' season in a nutshell, doesn't it? One All-Star, and he strikes out twice. He is going up against the best in the business. The AL wins 8-6, and I lead all-time series 44-43. It'll be the All-Star game will be in Cleveland next year, as the game did go 10 innings, and there were 10 home runs, and to be fair, five for each team. In case you missed who hit the home runs, this might take me a while. Alex Bregman, George Springer, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Wilson Contreras, Trevor Story, Juan Segura, Kristen Yelich, Scooter Jeanette, and Joey Votto. Who didn't hit a home run might have taken less time. 10 different players. That's a weird thing about it, too. 10 homers, 10 different players. Nobody hit, you know, two homers last night.
Yeah.
So that made it interesting, I guess. So the Royals back out. The bad news about the All-Star break is that it's over now. For the Royals fans, it's oh no, Royals, we got to play again. Yep, Royals play the Twins coming up on Friday. Once again, they get Thursday off because they've had Thursday off for like a month in a row, I think, like 4 or 5 weeks. It's kind of weird how that schedule has fallen. So the Royals will get back at it, and we'll see if they trade some of their players. According to Major League Baseball, Manny Machado reports yesterday he might be going to the Phillies. Now they say Dodgers. Who knows? We'll just wait and see what happens. The Dodgers supposedly are going to sign Machado, and they're one of those few teams that could sign him to a huge long-term deal. So it would make sense. Only the big market teams can do that, which that could come back to bite them. We shall see what the Dodgers do if they get Machado from the Orioles. Big 12 football media days continuing down in Texas. Dalton Risner, Alex Delton, Skylar Thompson, Duke Shelley, some of the top returners for K-State. Of course, the big situation is Alex Delton, Skylar Thompson, who's going to be quarterback for Kansas State. To me, they got to pick somebody, and they got to go with that guy at least 90% of the time. I don't think you're going to want to be rotating quarterbacks. I don't think they want to do that. We know Delton's the better running quarterback. Thompson's a better passing quarterback. But in a unique twist, and I kind of like what Bill Snyder did here, he brought both quarterbacks to media days and was asked, why did you bring both your quarterbacks to media day? Because that's pretty unheard of.
You know, I think first and foremost, it's, you know, you're always going to think about them first. And, you know, at the quarterback position, you understand, as everybody in here does, that, you know, that quarterback is under a little bit more scrutiny than most positions, you know, in the game of football. And consequently, there's a lot of imposed pressure on young people that play that position, more so probably than other positions. And I thought this was a great opportunity to imply some preseason pressure. So you got to practice the things you're going to experience. So there's a little bit of pressure in them being here.
So what do you think? Two quarterbacks media day. You cool with that? You like that? Don't like that? K-State boy?
I don't have a problem with it because they're two really good kids. I think they can both handle it and be part of that. You know, if it's a situation where you got a bad apple, maybe that can't handle that kind of that preseason pressure like Coach Snyder's talking about there, then yeah, you might have an issue with it. But they're two guys that have already been both voted captains by their team too, so it's not that kind of situation. I think they can both handle it, and it's also an easy way for Bill Snyder to say, I don't know who my quarterback is yet.
Because
it's easy on his side of the deal too, because he it's rare to bring them both, but at the same time it's like, well, you got them both, so obviously I don't know who my quarterback is yet, so stop asking me questions about who my starter is going to be, because I don't know, because both of them are here. You should know that I don't know. And so it's an easy way for him to do that, too, and if you got guys that can handle it. And I agree with you, though, in the end, there's going to have to be a decision made about who the guy is going to be. I liken this a lot to Jake Waters and Daniel Sams, mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously Jake was the better thrower, Daniel's the better runner. But at the same time, you knew that Jake Waters could run the football. I know that Skylar Thompson can run the football if he needs to in this kind of offense. So, you know, that's why I'm kind of leaning toward him. But, you know, you don't know how it's going to end up, that's for sure, because there's no track record to tell you that this coaching staff is going to make that decision and go with one guy. Because even with Waters and Sams early on, they didn't make that decision and go with one guy. And finally, when they did, kind of made a little bit of a difference that year and when everybody got on board. So that's what I hope too, is that like there's none of these stories that are coming out early in the season like they did back then. Like people aren't blocking when Skylar Thompson's under center because they want right. Alex Delton under center, and guys aren't catching passes because they'd rather have the other guy playing quarterback. There was some of that coming out, and it broke the team for a few weeks. And so you're just hoping that doesn't happen, and I don't think with this group it will, but you don't ever know. But I agree, I think you need to find somebody, but at the same time, I think right now at this point juncture going into the season, it's not a big issue to have them both there.
So you picking Thompson to win the job?
I don't know if I'm picking him to win the job, but that's where I'm leaning, who I would want to win the job. Mm-hmm. I'll say yeah, because of what he did at the end of the year. I'll say in the end, Skylar Thompson will be the quarterback.
Brian Smiller was with us a few weeks ago from Kansas State University, and he said, I think it was him, that he said, you know, if not for that bowl game where Alex Delton played so well, and of course that was a good matchup for Delton and Kansas State to do what they do with Delton, that if not for that game, there probably wouldn't be nearly as big of a controversy
no.
for the quarterback. It would probably be Skylar Thompson as the guy. But I think that gave Delton a lot of confidence, and he has improved his throwing. He's still not as good of a thrower as Thompson, and Thompson's still not as good a runner as Delton. It's too bad he can't take the talent from each and then, you know, infuse him into this automatic great quarterback like, oh, say, Michael Bishop.
Yeah.
That would be.
It can't be Michael Bishop or Earl Roberson.
Yeah, Earl Roberson would be all right, too. But you don't have that luxury. And, I think Thompson, this is my opinion, I think Thompson, if he's the better quarterback, he should win this job.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised at all if Alex Delton wins the job to start the season.
Yeah.
And then I think what I foresee is that if Delton would win the job, which I'm not saying he will, but I think there's a better chance than some people think that there is mm-hmm. he will. If he wins the job, I think at some point during the season he will lose the job. Not because maybe he's playing horrible, but they struggle a little bit, they need a spark, and then Skylar comes in and then he ends up being the starter the rest of the year. Or Of course, Delton's had a few concussions. He takes a ding in the head.
Yeah.
That'll take care of it. So I don't think it's a slam dunk that Thompson's going to be the starting quarterback. But, boy, that seems to be what a lot of the media people feel, is that Skylar Thompson needs to or will be the starting quarterback week one. And I'd say not so fast. I think Delton's got a shot at it. Percentage-wise, I don't know. But that's for them to determine. You know, I don't remember. Was Michael Bishop ever at media days?
I didn't think so.
No.
Michael Bishop was never at media.
It was a facetious, sarcastic comment question that I threw out at you.
That was funny.
I got the reaction I wanted, too.
That was funny.
Yeah. So this is how far Bill Snyder's evolved. He's gone from not letting a quarterback talk to the media, like, ever, to, hey, I'll bring not one, but two quarterbacks to media days.
I think of Michael Bishop.
These two might be a little smarter.
Definitely depends on who that quarterback is.
These two guys might be a little smarter than Bishop.
If you could fast forward Michael Bishop to now and he was 20 years old or whatever,
he still wouldn't be talking to the media.
Yeah.
Right. But he had something that these guys don't, and that's the physical tools.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is he didn't have the mental tools, or I still think he could have been an NFL quarterback if he had the mental tools.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
Somebody should have made him into something else than a quarterback, but maybe he wasn't willing to do that.
Man, he was amazing.
He was a freakish athlete.
He was.
Throw the ball on a rope 60 yards off your back foot and, like, make it look easy.
Oh, yeah. And then the way he could run, too. He was an amazing specimen, no doubt about it. But didn't go on to bigger, huge things.
See, they should have gave him a Broncos Tebow offense to run.
Yeah, maybe. You know, he was Michael Vick, every time with Michael Vick, but I mean, Michael Bishop was just as good as Michael Vick, in my opinion. In college, he was just as good,
if not better. Oh, the whole all-around package, I think he's better. Physically, Vick
was smarter.
Yeah.
I would agree with Dusty there,
Except for the dogfighting and all that.
When I said whole all-around package, I meant skill package, whole all-around package.
Right, yeah. No, I'm with you. It's just kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Bill Snyder brings two quarterbacks to media day when he wouldn't ever let Bishop talk to anybody. But there was a big reason for that.
Yeah.
A huge reason.
He was conveniently in class on the media.
How many plays did K-State's offense have in their playbook when Bishop was there?
All they needed
were about four. Eight,
well, they had as many as they always do, but they didn't run as many.
Yeah, they run like eight.
They ran the same one over and over. And
option left, option right, option middle. bubble screen.
streak pattern, air it out. Bishop didn't chuck a duck. He didn't dink and chunk. He'd throw the ball deep. Donald and others, I mean, they'd throw the ball deep. They didn't do the old drop the ball off.
No.
Andy Reid offense.
No.
They were very aggressive. They were very aggressive offensively, Michael Bishop. They probably didn't have the 25 plays. They probably ran maybe.
Yeah.
Seven or eight, like you said.
I don't think they
had the right guys that could go up and get it, like Darnell McDonald.
Right.
I mean, they had
but you didn't need to team. With that talent. You know, don't make it complicated. In any sport, if you've got superior athletes and you can run the same play over and over and they still can't stop it, then why change?
Yeah.
It's like the wishbone at Smith Center. You know what's coming, but if you couldn't stop it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Put everybody in the box. You still can't stop it. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to start airing it out. No, we're not. We're Smith Center, man. We're gonna shove it right down your throat. See if you can stop it. Oh, you can't? Let's run it again. What do you mean? Run it again. Jeez, Coach Barta, run it again. Look, we're getting first downs every two plays. We get four chances. We can run it four straight times before getting a first down. And it worked. Worked really well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody said, I remember one person telling me, well, but it's kind of boring. I said, you think winning's boring?
Right.
How about championships? Are those boring? Yeah. So you'd rather be not as good, but it's more fun to watch because you throw the ball around and throw a few interceptions and flea flickers? Okay, of course they wouldn't, because if it was the other side, then that person would have said, I just don't know why we just don't run the ball. They can't stop us. That would be what you would hear.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill Snyder talking about the coaching changes and says there may be some tactical changes with the new coordinators, but you'll still recognize the offense.
Not really. I think we have a system in place, been in place for a long time, and there's a lot to it. You know, I mean, we've got a notebook that playbook that's about that thick, so there's not much in there that exists in the game of football that it's all in there, I guess. Let me put it that way. And we move around. The important thing is going to be, what can our players do? You know, so we can't do all of it, but we can pull from, our collection of offense those things that our players are most capable of doing. You know, there's a tweak here and there, but not, you'll recognize the offense when you see it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. There might be a few tweaks, but it's not. There's not going to be a whole big change to the offense here, if that's what people think is going to happen.
I think there's too many people that are so excited that Dana Dimmel's gone that think that this is going to be like Eric some Coryell. Extreme change.
Yeah, I got to run the pistol, the run and shoot. We're going to change it all, right?
Yeah. You just hope, like, the important play calling is a little bit different. Like, you're still going to use the same things you have, but you're just, like, hoping that let's not run 7 straight passes against a team that got killed on the run last week to open out the game, you know? Yeah. Like, you're just hoping that it's a little bit different. And I think that's the tactical part that they were trying to ask him about, you know? I don't think anybody thought they were actually going to be changing their offense and making it just an extreme difference from what it is. And I hope nobody actually thinks that going in, because you're going to be sorely disappointed if you do.
K-State picked 6th in the preseason poll out of 10, and I would be willing to wager quite a bit that they will finish higher than 6th in the Big 12. I feel very confident about that. Very confident.
Yes.
Because even if they lose a quarterback, they got another one. That's one. You know, some teams in this league, they lose their quarterback, they're in trouble. It happens all the time. K-State, you could argue, well, if you have 2 and you can't decide on 1, that means you don't have a great quarterback. Could be. You may still have 2 very good quarterbacks. And then if one goes down, you're in better shape than another team. So I guess it just depends on how you look at it. Kawhi Leonard, reports are that he is going to the Toronto Raptors. NBA news, exactly what the media predicted. The Spurs and the Raptors have reached an agreement on a trade centering around Kawhi Leonard and fellow All-Star DeMar DeRozan. Toronto will receive Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green in exchange for DeMar DeRozan, Jacob Poeltl, I think is how you pronounce it, center, and a protected 2019 first-round pick. So the Spurs would get DeRozan, team him up with LaMarcus Aldridge. DeRozan's all-star as well. DeRozan ended up getting benched late in games against Cleveland in the playoffs by Dwayne Casey at the time. Now Dwayne Casey no longer the coach of the Raptors. And the Spurs do get a first-round pick, but it's a protected pick. And then Toronto will get Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. It's a big roll of the dice by the Raptors. I think the Raptors sit here and go, listen, we had to do something. The Celtics and the Sixers are the teams to beat. LeBron went to the West. We need to do something. DeRozan, obviously, his time has run out there, and they are shipping him off to get Kawhi Leonard. But here's where the gamble is. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't re-sign with Toronto after this year, or if he even plays for Toronto, I mean, already Leonard's camp has said, I don't want to play in Toronto. So is he going to be a big baby about it and not play and sit out this year with Toronto because he didn't want to play, which would not be wise on his part. But there are talks that Kawhi is going to be at this mini USA basketball camp and usually there's a tryout to show people, I am healthy and I am okay to play. But he's going to have to, the rights are owned by the Raptors in this trade, so he's going to have to either play it out in Toronto or sit out the year, or he can be a malcontent, which that will hurt, I think, him in the future. Or just go prove he's a great player still, play one great year in Toronto. Toronto's hoping that the OKC factor kicks in. Paul George was expected to re-sign OKC, enjoyed it, like playing with Westbrook, and now he's back. And a lot of people thought he'd go to L.A. That's what people think with Leonard. He's going to go to L.A. after 1 year in Toronto. So Toronto's going to have to sell him on staying there. And I think the only way you could sell him on staying there is he's the centerpiece of your team and you can make it to the NBA Finals. I think that would be about the only way you convince him to stay, and I don't even know if that's enough, because they're set on L.A., it sounds like. Now, a lot of people thought Paul George was set on L.A., and everybody was wrong. So this is a big roll of the dice by the Raptors, because if Kawhi Leonard only plays 1 year there, and then he leaves, the Raptors gave up a first-round pick, they gave away an all-star for 1 year rental of Kawhi Leonard. And they got Danny Green, who's a role player now in his career. I don't think it's a smart move by the Raptors myself, but I think it's a good move for the Spurs. I think it's a good move. I don't think it's a great move. I think it's a good move. You ship him to the East. You do get a protected first-round pick. You get DeRozan, who's a very good player. I don't think he's a superstar, but he's an all-star. So you still can be competitive with him and Aldridge, among others. You know they're going to be well-coached. So I think it's a good trade for the Spurs. I don't think it's great, but I think it's a good trade. I think the Spurs still would have had a better trade if they got Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram and Kuzma from the Lakers.
Yeah.
You get, or 2 of those 3 and a first-round pick would be the best deal. But I don't think the Spurs ever thought that they really wanted to send him in the West in the same conference as we talked about before. So I would say big gamble by the Raptors. I guess if they can go to the NBA Finals and win it or make it with Kawhi 1 year and then they lose him, they might think it's worth it. But I think it's going to set this franchise back a few years if Kawhi, in fact, bolts for L.A. or wherever he does after this 1 year in Toronto. And that's if he plays and isn't a malcontent. I just think it's a huge gamble by the Raptors, and I don't think they had to do it. And the Spurs, I think, is a solid move for them, and you make sure that he doesn't go to anybody in the West at least for one more year.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto just came out of nowhere here in this thing from what everybody was talking about. And you kind of had that feeling if he was going to go somewhere, it was going to be somewhere nobody was talking about until at the end when it was clear that it was happening, and then they come out and act like they know everything about what's going on, you know.
Right.
It was funny, the first tweet I saw other than the one from ESPN that said he was going to the Raptors, the first one I saw was Kawhi Leonard has no interest in playing in Toronto. It's like, okay, well, that's fun. And I'm glad it's their problem now and not mine as a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you kind of look at it, the first thing I saw was Kawhi for DeRozan, and then it said there's more players involved. I kind of wanted to see who the other players were that were involved. You know, I'm not all about losing Danny Green. I realize that he's at the end of his time probably with the Spurs. I can tell you that Danny Green's not going to be as good with the Raptors as he was with the Spurs.
No.
You look at the history of the guys that have had a lot of success with the Spurs, role players like that, when they go somewhere else, they don't really fare too well.
Yeah.
And I don't think Toronto is going to get out of Danny Green what they want out of Danny Green.
I would agree.
And now there's the Raptors fans that I was reading responding to these tweets are not happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are very disappointed that they're getting rid of DeRozan. The thing that
by the way, DeRozan was under contract for three more seasons.
I was just going there. The thing that works for the Spurs is you've gotten rid of a guy that you know is not coming back next year.
Yep.
You've got a guy coming in for guaranteed two more years. He's got a player option on that third year.
In the prime of his career.
Yeah, and in the prime of his career. And you know, I don't know if Pete Kawhi is maybe probably a little bit better than Pete DeRozan, like if they're both playing at their best. But at the same time, obviously you've got a guy that's not going to be coming back to your team if he even gives solid effort this year, this coming year if Kawhi stays. So you've got a guy for at least two more years for sure. I don't know how well he plays. If he plays really well, he might opt out. It's $27 million that they would owe him in 2021 if he would want to stay in that or try to go get a better contract. But Kawhi killed himself money-wise in this deal. I'm going to tell you that right now. He could have made $221 million, and that goes down to like $180 million if he signs a max with the Raptors next summer, which nobody thinks is going to happen.
Right.
If he goes to the Lakers, he's down to $140. He's cost himself like $80 million, if that's what he cares about, to do all this. You know, obviously, he might not care about that part of it. Maybe he's more worried about not playing in San Antonio.
He could get a big endorsement deal in L.A. and a big market, and he can recoup that in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know if Kawhi is marketable right now to do things like that. We'll find out, you know, what kind of year he has in Toronto and see after that. But, you know, it's as a Spurs fan, I don't have any real big issues with it. I'm kind of the same as you. I don't think it's a great deal for the Spurs. You know, I'm not excited about Jacob Poeltl. I mean, he hasn't really done much in the NBA. If this was college basketball, I'd be excited about it. But, you know, I'm not overly excited about everything around it, but I do like the fact that you've got a guy coming in that is under your control for at least 2 years here that is a four-time All-Star, and he's in the prime of his career. I mean, I didn't want it to be a situation like Paul George, you know, like mm-hmm. where you're feeling like, I know Oladipo became an All-Star, but coming into it, you're getting Sabonis and Oladipo for Paul George, and it's like, that doesn't seem like a good deal.
Right.
And this seems like a pretty fair trade considering what nobody else was going to give up, any guy like this.
Well, there's a few people saying the Spurs are crazy for trading Leonard to the Raptors. I don't think they're crazy.
No.
I don't think it's crazy. Could they got a better deal elsewhere? Maybe. But if their wild card to the whole thing is we don't want him to be in the West against us,
yeah,
then this is one way of solving that part.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like this. They made the playoffs last year without Kawhi.
They did.
And
they still want to be competitive.
Their team is better right now than it was last year. And they don't have Kawhi.
Right.
But bringing in DeMar DeRozan, really like the draft pick that they got. I really think when you're looking
Lonnie
at the, Lonnie Walker the fourth, exactly, and his athleticism, the way they're built,
mm-hmm.
is totally better than what it was last year.
I agree. And Leonard only played 9 games, so
you're out of it. I mean, you're taking him out of there.
Right. Right. You're not missing anything this year because he didn't do anything last year for you.
This team in the East would be contending to make it to the finals without question.
No question. Oh, yeah.
And they might be the favorite.
Yeah, they'd be up there with the Sixers and Celtics. I agree. And then it'll be interesting to see if people think the Raptors are now a favorite in the East with Leonard and losing DeRozan. DeRozan last year played in 82 games. He averaged 23 points a game. He was an all-star, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 46% from the floor. Not a great outside shooter, but he's got a really good mid-range game. I was talking about the lost art of the mid-range game. DeMar DeRozan is very good. Mm-hmm. 15, 16, 17, 18 feet from the hoop. 83% foul shooter. He's a decent defender, and he's turning 29 in August. So, I mean, it's you're still getting you should not be getting a declining player. Let's put it that way.
No.
You should not be getting a declining player with DeRozan. Kawhi, by the way, is, why don't they have how old he is? That's weird. They had it on the other one, and now they don't on this one. Kawhi played just 9 games last year, but his last, he's 26 or going to be 27, so a couple years younger. Kawhi played in 74 games 2 years ago, and Kawhi averaged 25.5 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists per game, and shot 88% from the line and 49% from the floor, which was a very, very good season. And of course, we know he's a fantastic defender. Who's the better player? Kawhi Leonard's the better player when he's healthy compared to DeMar DeRozan. But if he's not happy and the Spurs knew they couldn't fix the relationship, they're better off moving him, and they at least got something returned. So I think they did okay. I know you're not jumping up and down doing jumping jacks, okay.
You've got to get something of substance, and right. I think they did. Right. You know, you can't just get rid of them to get rid of them. I don't think they were ever going to do that.
I think some people that are critical of this trade that say the Spurs are crazy for trading him to Toronto are thinking, well, you should have held on to him, and then at the trade deadline next year, you could have really got a lot for him because a lot of teams that would have tried to get over the top, they know where they stand. But also been a short-term rental, and you might not have got as much as you think because he would be set on going to L.A., so we have no chance to re-sign him anyway, so why would he give up so much?
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to that thinking of, well, you would have hold him until the middle of next year, and you're also assuming that he's going to play hard.
Yeah.
You're assuming he's going to play for the Spurs. Maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he'd just pout and not want to play, and then nobody wants to trade for him. So maybe this is the best thing. We'll never know now because they've made the trade, and we won't know what would happen if Kawhi stayed with the Spurs. But it's amazing how that relationship between the Spurs and Leonard just deteriorated so quickly. Amazing. He was the golden child of San Antonio. There's a whole story about him in Sports Illustrated with him and Pop, about how Pop got him to develop, and he talked so many great things about Kawhi Leonard, one of the best people, persons he's ever coached, best person he's coached, one of the best. His work ethic, he's just a quiet leader, and nothing but good things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he apparently gets tied up with the wrong people, or Kawhi's changed as a person, and now, guess what? You've been shipped to Canada. So congratulations. Kawhi Leonard would have been much better off just being quiet, and his group being quiet, and just play this last year. Like, do nothing in the offseason. Just tell the Spurs, you know what, I'll be back, and I'll be ready. And that would have been probably enough for the Spurs, to be honest with you, so they don't rehash what happened last year. And just say, okay, let's move on like nothing happened. I'm going to play out my year, and then I'm going to do what I need to do. And that's all they needed to do. That's all the Spurs or Leonard needed to do here. And instead, you're going to Toronto. So if you're really upset you're going to Toronto and you don't want to play for Toronto, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your own fault.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you got shipped to Toronto, is because you have no interest in going to Toronto. The Spurs are done with this, man, and we're not going to send you somewhere you want to be. We're going to get what we can out of you, and if you like where you're going, we don't really care. There's no clause in your contract that says where we can trade you. So he's the Raptors' problem now. I don't like it at all, just the way it ended, because I love the guy. He was one of my favorite players ever. And then just like that changes with this, it just changes your whole perception of who he is and what it is. I hate the way it ended, but I'm just glad it's over and it's not, you know, as a Spurs fan, I'm just glad it's done. Not the Spurs problem anymore.
Here's some of the reaction on Twitter, social media. Well, first of all, DeMar DeRozan's not happy that he's going to San Antonio. Leonard, no desire to play in Toronto, as well, league sources told ESPN. One Raptors fan says, Raptors forever. We can't get top-level players to commit to this franchise. DeRozan in 2016, I commit to you guys, signs a contract through 2021. Raptors today. Okay, you can leave now. So that's why some of the Raptor fans exactly. are upset. Here's a guy that committed to Toronto, which not a lot of stars have committed to Toronto, and Leonard doesn't appear to be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing on a guy that doesn't want to be in Toronto, got rid of a guy, one of the rare all-stars that wanted to be there. Thus is why this deal that the Raptors made from the Raptors side doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Seeing if there's anything else here. Just other little stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, the bottom line is both players aren't happy. But that's how professional sports are. I mean, you're going to get traded.
Well, I mean, that's too, like, you know, when you're DeMar DeRozan on the other side of this, who's not upset with the team that he's on,
right.
isn't making a stink that he wants to leave. I
got
understand.
Benched and he didn't make a public outcry and stink like Leonard.
It's like, I understand why he's not happy that, that he got traded, because like one tweet says, you know, he made a commitment to be in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would guess more of his unhappiness is that Toronto actually dealt him, not where he's going.
He feels he got to be traded.
Yeah. He just didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to be a part of that. And especially, maybe you're DeMar DeRozan. LeBron's not in Cleveland anymore.
Right.
I'm in the East. I've got a chance now to make the finals. Okay, I've gotten traded to the West.
Yeah.
My chance isn't very good to make the finals, you know. It's just the way it is.
I know.
And so, I'm upset probably if I'm DeMar DeRozan. I don't have any doubts in my mind that he's going to gel with San Antonio and be fine when he gets there. I think it'll be fine. Yeah. But
I can't say the same.
You know, Isaiah Thomas was mad last year when he got traded from Boston. You know, he didn't want to leave. He wanted to be a part of that. He wanted to stay. And
he's never recovered.
Kind of the same reaction.
He's never recovered from that, though.
No, he hasn't. I'm not comparing their situations, but you know, people are going to be upset. When they leave a team that they really love.
Thomas had an injury too.
Yeah, DeRozan exactly.
is supposedly healthy, DeRozan in San Antonio has a better chance of working than Leonard in Toronto.
Oh yeah,
by far.
Well, and, you know, I can make the same argument for Kawhi Leonard that I just did a little bit ago for Danny Green too. You know, I mean, I think owes a lot to the Spurs the way he was developed. I mean, I don't know if he develops like that in some other places. Like, if he has to go into that big, because he's a shy guy early on. He didn't want that. He didn't want that attention around him. And I don't know if LA drafts him, if he's the same kind of guy.
We shall find out.
I mean, he's learning under veterans and Hall of Famers like Duncan and Parker Ginobili and all those guys.
The thing that bothers me about this whole situation is we've never heard straight from Kawhi Leonard on camera anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's always other people talking for him. Apparently, he can't make his own decisions or can't comment for himself. That's the thing that really blows me away about this whole situation. All right. A lighter note to end the Sports Ticket Day, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. All kinds of animals have made their way onto a baseball field in the past, including cats. Remember the rally cat in St. Louis against the Royals last year? A possum, a harmless snake, a quick rabbit, and, of course, squirrels. A groundskeeper is usually dispatched to remove the invader, or at least to encourage it to find a way off the field. But during a game between Class AAA teams Reno and Tacoma, a skunk delayed play in the bottom of the ninth inning. According to ABC15.com, the Reno Aces, they are an affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, believe the skunk sneaked in through the grounds crew gate behind center field and escaped under the left field wall. Unfortunately, the skunk was not found after the game and remains at large. We must find this skunk, and what will we do with him? Serve him up on a platter. In the video of the baseball-loving skunk, you'll note that there is not a single person anywhere near the animal.
No.
So remember the groundskeeper guy that in St. Louis against the Royals last year when that cat, and he grabbed the cat and the cat clawed him. And he said the F-bomb. You could see what he said.
It was getting him too, man.
Well, first of all, he didn't hold the cat right. He had never dealt with a cat in his whole life.
At some point, you're going to have to grab that thing by the neck and make sure the skin on top of the neck and make sure he knows who's boss.
You grab the back legs and the back of the neck.
He
was an amateur. And so he got scratched multiple times as he took that cat off the field.
And
the Cardinals rallied, hit a home run right after that and rallied and won the game. And they called it the rally cat. And that was a big thing in St. Louis for the time. But they went and dealt with that. There's a squirrel. They'll try to deal with it, a cat. But a skunk, it's just kind of like, you know what? We'll just delay the game and let that skunk mosey on out of here. we're not going to worry about it. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but a few weeks ago, there was a person that came onto the field in St. Louis to throw the ceremonial first pitch, and he threw the pitch wild, high, and way outside of the catcher, and there are a few workers at St. Louis that were moving something behind home plate, walking back this way, moving it. The kid that got bit by the cat got hit by the baseball.
Oh, really?
It's the same kid. Yeah, the kid that got clawed by the cat that we were talking about got hit, beamed on the ceremonial first pitch by the person throughout the first pitch a few weeks ago. They talk about on ESPN. I was like, wow, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
Like, that kid needs, like, workers' comp. Well, he might have it anyway. I mean, but he needs to get a better life insurance, health insurance policy. I don't know, man. Because he needs to put a helmet on at all times and put gloves on. Because the cat's clawing him. I mean, well, what do you do at St. What do you do for the Cardinals? Oh, well, I just go ahead and take cats off the field during the game, and I take pitches in the head. What? That's kind of what I do. So who do you work for again? The Brewers. Because he got hit in the head. He can't remember where he works for. Come on, play along. So that was kind of an interesting story. So there you have it. Are you sure Michael Bishop was not at any media days? We're sure of that?
I'm very sure. He definitely wasn't at the first one because he came in late.
It would be amazing if he was. Like, yeah. We all thought there's no way, and somehow somebody could say, hey, here's a picture of him at media days. Like, oh, my goodness. No way.
I was looking up stuff on him on YouTube when we were talking about this before, and I found some deal that somebody did, like, a sit-down 20-minute interview with him, I think up in Canada when he was playing
For Toronto,
in the Canadian
yeah.
League up there, and that's the only time I've seen him in front of a camera without a football uniform on.
All right.
Maybe draft day.
One last thing to share before we leave here. It's Steelers-related, both stories. First of all, Steelers' Antonio Brown will be on the cover of Madden 2019. So, torn ACL, here we come. And Le'Veon Bell says that he will report for week one for the Steelers. So, yeah. It sounds like he's going to skip all the training camp, and he'll be ready to go to work on a $14 million franchise tag for week one of the season, but he's not coming really any sooner than that, which you could see that coming. Worked out for him last
That'll
year.
That'll work
still
out for
well.
Them. They're being fine.
Yeah, it'll work out.
It won't work out for the Steelers. It doesn't look like long term, but
as of now, it doesn't look like it.
But this year, they'll be fine.
Things could change. If he has another big year, of course, another year on wear and tear out of running back, and you know, running backs can fall off a cliff in a hurry. We've seen it in Kansas City a few times, haven't we? 9:52 is our time, 71 degrees on a Wednesday, July 18, 2018. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.